Bloodsport, the novel by Dick Francis, adapted for radio by Peter Hoare. The part of Gene Hawkins is played by Nigel Lambert, that of Dave Teller by John Carson, and Linny Keeble by Shelley Lungi. Bloodsport.
Mr. Hawkins?
That's right.
Daddy said I was to call for you.
Ah, yes, he rang me. Come in.
Thank you.
Did you come all this way especially to fetch me?
Oh, no. I live in a hostel with 60 other girls in South Ken.
Ah.
Daddy just rang me and said that as I'd got the car up in London this weekend, I could collect you and meet them at Henley. A sort of spur-of-the-moment thing.
Sorry, such a mess in here. I was just finishing my coffee. Would you like some?
It's very kind of you, but Daddy said not to waste time. He wants to be upriver as soon as possible.
Yes, so I gathered. He told me to wear boating clothes. I wasn't quite sure what they were.
Oh, anything. I mean, I'm sure what you're wearing's fine.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'll get my jacket. I'm afraid this isn't much of a place.
It's very compact.
Suits me, but I wouldn't class it as elegant living.
Well,
I could do without the landlord's pink carpet and his junk shop furniture. It isn't until someone like you comes in that I notice them.
You live quite alone, then?
Quite.
You work for Daddy, don't you?
Yes, why?
No reason. I mean, I can't remember him asking anyone from work before. Well, he just usually doesn't, that's all.
Ah. Well, a kind thought, I expect.
Do you mind if I drive?
No, why should I?
Well, I've only just passed my test, you see. I got my license yesterday.
You know what I deduced from that?
No.
That you're just 17. And when was your birthday?
Yesterday.
Oh, many happy returns of yesterday.
Thank you. Excuse me asking, but isn't that a gun you're strapping round you?
Yes, I always carry one. It's concealed when I have my jacket on.
Oh.
Wouldn't you carry a gun in my job?
Yes, I suppose I would. But I thought this was just a day on the river at Henley.
So did I. But as you say, it's a bit odd your father asking me, and, well, you never know.
No, I suppose you don't.
All right, then, let's go, shall we?
Oh, this is a gorgeous place to moor for lunch, Mummy. Don't you think so, Mr. Hawkins?
Yes, it's lovely.
Now I thought we'd help ourselves. We don't want to stay in the cabin, so let's all grab a place and take it anywhere we like.
Oh, great. That suits me fine.
You're doing splendid work, Dave, up in the bows.
Just your husband's fired hand, that's me. Yeah, I'm getting quite attached to my station up there on the cabin roof. Yeah, these locks, they take some negotiating.
Sim says you're very handy with that forehead painter.
Best man I've had on it for years. Van Rossum?
You're fine.
Well, we don't seem to have found you a job yet, Jean.
It's all new to me. I'll settle in soon.
Have some wine, anyway.
Well...
Oh, come on. You're on holiday.
Thanks.
Peter, come into the cabin and get some lunch.
Peter's so taken up with his new camera, he won't think of eating. He's been taking photographs all the morning, even when we stopped for drinks at that pub.
Oh, Peter, you should have changed out of your bathing trunks for lunch.
Oh, don't worry him, Joan. Boys will be boys.
Come on, Jean. Let's get up on deck. Have you read the Sunday papers?
Just glanced at them.
I was wondering whether you'd seen about Chrysalis.
Chrysalis?
Well, you know about him, I imagine.
That Chrysalis has got lost? Yes, I suppose so. It was in all the news bulletins on Wednesday.
He's still lost. But I suppose it doesn't mean anything to you.
Well...
Did I hear you mention Chrysalis, sir?
Oh, just telling Jean.
I have a share in that horse. A 1/8 share. $200,000 worth.
Wow.
And what's more, I spent all of last month negotiating the sale. Now, as soon as he gets over to the States, this has to happen.
I'm sorry.
And that isn't the money that matters. It's the horse.
Oh, I expect they'll find him.
And I'm not so sure. And I'll tell you, Gene, just exactly what I have in mind. I'd like you to go out there and look for him.
Why me?
Because I have great faith in Sim's judgment. And I think I should say that he and I were in the same line of business way back in World War II.
I see.
Just a war job for me, though. I got out of the army in 47, went back to Pappy. A couple of years later, he died, left me his racehorses, a few bucks on the side. I'd pay your fare and expenses, of course, and a fee.
I don't hunt horses.
Well, knowing Sim Keeble, I can guess what you hunt. Now, Chrysalis is the third stallion of international repute to have disappeared in the last 10 years.
You may not hunt horses, but you do know about them, Jean.
Yes, I understand your father trained them for racing.
There's the police, the insurance company. They have expert investigators. And I presume there's a reward.
Oh, yeah.
So why me?
No one found the other two. The first one was found dead in a gully 2 years after he disappeared.
Well, that's it, then.
But the second one... And I bought that one, too. And a 1/10 share. This is the second time round for me.
Were any of the circumstances the same?
No, except that both horses got free. Alex was never found. That's why I want something special done about Chrysalis.
I see.
You've got nothing else to do, Jean. Why not take a holiday in the States?
Well, at least come back with me and take a look, huh?
No, it's not my sort of job, and... Well, I'm tired.
Okay, very well. Can't press you. But if you should change your mind...
I know that unless I bring this strawberry syrup and cream out, you men will never bother to go into the cabin to get them. There they are. But do have some more chicken and salad first, Mr. Hawkins.
No, I'm fine. Thanks, Mrs. Keeble.
We must be getting on soon. I want to show you Harbour Lock, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
There's a weir there that makes the navigation rather tricky.
Don't worry, Sim. Your third hand will be on the alert.
Now, strawberries and cream, Mr. Hawkins. Isn't it gorgeous? Don't you think so, Mr. Hawkins?
Yes. Yes, very nice. But I don't seem to be doing anything.
That's the whole point of a day on the river. Just lazing in the sun.
Yes, but, I don't know. I can't help feeling it's not my scene. Ah, another lock.
There are scores of locks on the Thames. Lexlade is about as far up as you can go, except in a rowboat, and that's about 300 feet above sea level.
Quite a staircase.
Yes, the Victorians who built them were brilliant engineers.
The river divides here. It goes slowly into the left fork, round the bend to the lock, and fast on the right, straight to the weir.
Ah, yes. Is that the bit your father was speaking about? That post in midstream with a danger notice on it?
Yes. That's only for silly oafs who go too near the weir. Oh. Actually, those two look as though they're being rather stupid.
Hey, Sam! You see that punt to starboard?
Yes, the fools. They're getting too far out midstream.
They seem to be heading for the danger notice.
They'll be in trouble if they don't look out.
Your father will back over to them, won't he?
Yes. The girl at the front of the punt's got her arms around the post.
Looks as though she's trying to tie up to it. And the fellow with the punt pole's taking it pretty calmly.
Would you help us, sir?
Pair of ignorant young nitwits. The punt could be swept right out into the weir. Thank God this boat's too big to go through it.
But we could be pinned against the concrete support.
Sim, shall I throw the painter when we get near enough?
I'll try and get the mooring rope first, Dave, but stand by and stay up forward. We'll tow you away! Pass us your mooring rope when we're near enough.
That poor girl. Hold on. Do hold on. Just a little longer, that's all, and I can take the rope from you.
Don't lean out too far, Linny.
Don't like the look of that weir.
Stand by, Linny, to take the rope from her. Now. Oh, damn, she's dropped it.
Oh, can't you get hold of the rope again? Can you hang on to the pole with one arm?
No. No, I can't.
Why doesn't the young man go and help her?
Forget your punt pole, you oaf. Go and help the girl.
Please. Quickly, I can't hold on any longer.
Oh, Dan!
Dave, she's gone over the side.
The young man, he hit him with his punt pole as he moved forward. Daddy, the weir.
Looks like this is my job for the day.
Mr. Hawkins, you can't.
No, we'll throw him a rope.
You're too late. I'll get him.
You'll never make it. They'll both get sucked under in the weir. Now they'll both be drowned.
Get hold of that mooring rope. We'll tow the punt into the bank, then get downstream. We've just a chance of picking them up. Get the mooring rope, quick! I'm going ahead.
A rope! Give me a rope!
Right. Coming.
And pull slowly.
We will. How's the other man?
Not breathing.
We're ready for him here.
He'll need you. I've tried. There's no dice.
Come on. Let's get him onto the bank.
Oh, he's had 10 breaths of mine. It didn't seem to do him any good.
Don't worry, we'll get straight on with the breathing.
I'll roll him over. Carefully, just so his tongue isn't choking him.
Okay, we know. That's it. I'll soon get his breathing going.
Thank God.
He's hurt somewhere.
Badly?
I don't know. He crashed into the weir.
We saw you go. So did the lockkeeper here.
They must have gone under. Through one of the gates. Those gates winds upwards, same as a sash window. We got two of them open a couple of feet at the bottom today.
That's it. We went under.
Oh, his leg. He's pointing to his leg. He's not bleeding. Could he have broken it?
Well, the jar when we hit the weir could have been enough.
But we can't do anything for him here. There's an ambulance on the way.
What happened to the punt?
We towed it ashore. Linny got hold of the rope. Those kids were terribly shocked.
Oh, where are they?
I don't know. I suppose they stayed back at the lock. The girl was nearly hysterical when you and Dave didn't come up.
It's like a great flight of steps under there. The current would have rolled you right down those steps, I reckon. Oh, it's a miracle you ever came up. Why, I reckon there's people every year as falls in that river and never get seen again. Current takes them along the bottom all the way to the sea.
John.
What happened?
You got knocked off the boat and carried into the weir. Gene Hawkins dived in after you. He got you out.
Don't remember a thing.
The ambulance is on its way and you're off to hospital.
Lucky you were with us, Gene.
Do you remember asking me to go to America and look for your horse?
Yeah. You said no.
I've changed my mind. I'll go.
This is the emergency falling in kit. I don't expect any of the things will fit.
Linnea's cast-offs are a bit narrow for me.
And mine are too wide, I know. And they're all too short. Why are you going to the States?
Well, maybe I owe it to him.
Who, Dave?
Yes.
If anyone owes anything, surely he owes you.
No. No, if I had been quicker, he'd never have gone in. I was abysmally slow.
Oh, nonsense. Nothing could have prevented an accident like that.
That accident was attempted murder.
No.
Oh, it was.
Convince me.
The boy and girl have disappeared.
We don't know that. They may have come down the towpath and seen you were all right. They might have a dozen reasons for not wanting to stay.
The boy stood on the stern of that punt for far too long. He should have been helping with the rope.
I don't think he realized what a jam they were in. Not like the girl did.
The first time he moved, he hit Dave on the head.
Yes, well, punt poles can be clumsy things. And he couldn't have counted on Dave standing in so vulnerable a spot.
But he'd been standing there most of the way.
Well, how could the boy and girl know that? And no one would deliberately put themselves in so much danger to bait a trap.
Wouldn't they?
Well, no one except you. And anyway, how did they know we were on the river at all and coming down through the harbour lock? How long did you expect them to wait there clinging to the post? How did they know which boat to hail?
The best accidents always look as if there couldn't possibly be anything else. I'd like to take a closer look at that post.
But why on God's earth should anyone want to kill Dave? It was a simple accident, Gene. It had to be.
Did it?
Gene.
You'll agree, I'm a sort of specialist in arranging accidents.
They're not usually fatal ones.
No, thank God. Just a general stage managing of events. So the victim believes that what happens to him is just mischance.
You sprung more hairs that way than...
So I'm apt to spot a rig-up when I see one.
On this occasion, I think you're wrong, that's all.
Okay. And I'll spend my holiday in Putney.
No, Gene.
But whatever special powers your strange and little-known branch of the civil service may have, one thing it can't do is stop me taking my holiday where I like.
You know what I mean. If you stay by yourself in that dreadful flat with no work to do, you'll kill yourself.
Yes. Maybe the temporary touch of the blues I seem to be having would drive me as far as that.
You seem to be having, Gene. You are, I know that. Ever since your breakup with that girl.
That's my fault. I always knew that marriage would never break. And so we had to. But I hadn't realized you took such a serious view of my touch of the blues.
I think I'm right to.
Yes, maybe you are. So your surprise on the phone this morning wasn't surprise at finding me at home, but at finding me alive.
That's about it.
I suppose that's why you're so determined to send me on any old wild goose chase.
Well, it's hardly that. Three world-class stallions disappearing. Is that an accident you can believe in?
Yes, it is. Especially when somebody tries to get rid of the man who bought two of them. Oh, I know you still don't believe in it. But you're happy that I should. Isn't that the score?
Well...
Suits me. I'm going anyway. But first, I want to return to that post marked danger. We've got the empty punt tied up behind us.
Don't go in the punt, Linny.
I'm not going near it. I hate the thing.
I'm not too keen on the whole setup. I can't help thinking of the legend of the sirens.
Ah, the sea nymphs who sat on a rock near a whirlpool and attracted passing sailors with their pretty faces.
Yes, and lured them to their deaths. Come to think of it, that girl was an attractive little piece.
Don't!
Do be careful, Mr. Hawkins.
Watch it, Jean. We can't have you going in twice on the same day.
I know. Not enough spare clothes.
Mr. Hawkins!
There. As I expected. You see this? A newly cut rope still attached to the danger post. Now, this is the end of the punt's painter rope. The girl cut it when she knew we were right in position.
But how on earth did they know we were here?
Well, I reckon they've been tailing us on the way up. See the name of the outfit the punt belongs to on that metal plate?
Yes.
Isn't that the name of the pub we had drinks at on our way?
Yes, you mean?
Yes, I do. They picked us up there and got on ahead. Tied up on the danger post until we hove in sight. Yes, it's dead simple. Then the girl cut the painter rope and began yelling. Now that pub... Young Peter was taking photographs, wasn't he?
Yes. He finished up his film there.
I wonder. There's a chance he may have got a photograph of them.
Come on, Daddy. Let's get away from here.
You're right, Linny. We've done enough.
We had to keep the plant overnight and have it gone over for fingerprints.
There's no stopping you, Jean, is there? Okay, I'll arrange.
And then I'll go off to America.
Ah, yes. Yes. Now, America. What will be your first point of call, Jean?
Insurance company. Make contact with my oppo.
You mean your opposition or your opposite number?
It could be either. I'll have to see.
When's all this going to be?
Well, tomorrow, I'd say.
Goodness.
Yes, Linny, it's all happening now. Now, how about getting back to London? Do you feel up to driving your car?
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Hawkins, I was hoping you would. There's been something about this afternoon. I think you'd drive better than me.
Ah, thank you, Linny. You've cooked a very nice supper. I don't know how you did so out of my meagre larder.
Soup and anchovies on scrambled eggs. It was ideal for me. I can't cook much else. No one is going to marry me for my cordon bleu.
Oh, I wouldn't worry if I were you.
Oh, I was hungry. Funny that.
Well, it's a long time since lunch. A
terribly long time. I'm so glad you're alive.
I'm so glad Dave Teller is.
Both of you. It was the worst thing in my whole life when you didn't surface. Why don't you have any pictures on your walls?
Well, there are some in that trunk over there, but I don't like them much. Well, not enough to bother with hanging them up. Hey, do you know it's after 10? I'd better take you back or your hostel will shut you out.
Oh, yes, I think perhaps you'd better. Well, I didn't know if you'd think me very rude, dashing off as soon as we'd finished eating.
Well, your mother is quite right to tell you to be cautious. The little Red Riding Hood couldn't tell a wolf from her grandmother. And you never can rely on a woodcutter turning up in the nick of time.
You do say extraordinary things. As if you could read my mind.
I could. Hey, you better get that cardigan on. It'll be cold outside.
Okay.
Here, you've dropped your handkerchief.
Oh, thanks. It's the one Peter found in the punt.
In the punt?
Yes, in a crack between two of the cushions. He gave it to me because it was too small for him. Too sissy.
Did he find anything else?
I don't think so. I mean... It isn't stealing or anything, is it, to keep her handkerchief? Well, I'll give it to her, of course, if she comes back, but by the time Peter was sitting in the punt, they'd already been gone for ages.
No, it's not stealing. But may I have a look at it?
Of course.
Is this picture on it something out of Walt Disney?
It's Yogi Bear.
Who's Yogi Bear?
Oh, I can't believe it. He's a character in a lot of cartoon films, like Atamand and the Flintstones.
Oh, I've seen the Flintstones.
Well, like them, then. The same people make Yogi Bear.
Do you mind if I keep it for a day or two?
Of course not, if you really want to. But surely it hasn't any value.
You never know. It may have a great deal. And now I'm taking you back.
Well, I'm really all right now. You don't need to go.
Oh, yes, I do. Your father said to look after you, and I'm seeing you safe to your door, so come on. After you.
What do you actually do in the civil service?
I interview people.
What sort of people?
People who want jobs in government departments.
Oh, a sort of personnel officer.
Sort of.
Sounds a bit drizz.
Oh, the sun shines occasionally.
Oh, you're pretty quick. We only made up drizz yesterday.
That's a very useful word.
Yes, we thought so too. Covers a lot of things nicely.
Yeah. Like wet boyfriends.
It would be pretty drizz to have a wet boyfriend after you. do with a drive.
Drive if you like, but I'm seeing you back. And mind you drive carefully while I'm in America.
I will.
I wish you blind traffic wardens and foam rubber bumpers. All right. And back you come. Left hard down.
Walt Prinsella.
Hello.
Well, Gene, you've come a long way.
Dave Teller's idea.
And how do you take to the buttress life setup?
Oh, fine, Walt. High on customer appeal on the floor below.
And not so high up here.
Well, I expect it's here where the work is done.
I guess so. And you're looking for horses. Do you do much of that?
Practically none. How about you?
If you mean, was it I who didn't find the other, then no, it wasn't. Buttress Life had a pay-up for Alex years ago. $1,643,729, give or take a nickel. Showman, the first one, was insured with another company.
Accident or design?
Well, now that you've come, design. Before, I wasn't sure.
No. I'm on holiday.
I checked you out.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to know just what sort of limey busybody was being wished on me. You're a screener. I mentioned your name in two places, the FBI and CIA. I got a positive reaction from both. It seems you're a major stumbling block in the way of the planting of spies in certain government departments and places like biological warfare research laboratories.
Kind of them to say so.
And what's more, you passed on some useful warnings to our people at Fort Detrick. They say the other side have tried to deter you rather roughly once or twice.
Yes, that's why I always carry this Luger under my arm now.
Well, you've a clean bill with our boys and how.
And with you?
They said you didn't like the limelight.
It's all yours. Right, fill me in then. How did Chrysalis get lost?
They were taking him in a horse van from Kennedy Airport to Lexington, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They loaded Chrysalis and four others in the van, drove westwards from New York on the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Time?
Left Kennedy 4 p.m. Monday, last Monday, that is. Mm-hmm. Estimated Lexington midday Tuesday, 700 miles.
Stops?
Yeah, that's where the trouble started.
How come?
At the first stop, they took turns to eat. Drivers first, grooms after.
So there was always someone guarding the horses. All correct so far?
Yeah, but the grooms say the drivers didn't give them long enough for their meal. So afterwards, they all ate together.
Leaving the horses unguarded?
Exactly. Now, it was in Ohio that the van was hijacked, and it was over the state border in Kentucky when it was found.
Hijacked? Well, that's the first I've heard of that.
It was hijacked by mistake. For a truck full of liquor, which was about 20 miles behind it along the road. The vans looked alike, same size, same color.
How'd it happen?
Well, while they were at lunch, someone drove off with the whole works.
But surely the driver took the keys.
Ah, this was an expert job. A direct wire contact from the battery terminals to the starter motor.
So then what?
The drivers called the police. But it wasn't until Wednesday morning that the van was found off the road in Kentucky. But no horses. The ramps were down, and all the horses were let out to create a diversion. To get the cops off the tails of the hijackers by making them chase horses all over.
And it worked?
Yeah. So the owners kicked up a stink. All the horses were valuable, but only Chrysalis was insured with Buttress.
Did they get all the others back?
Yeah, but Chrysalis had as good as disappeared off the face of the earth.
Well, how do you know the hijackers meant to take the liquor truck?
The only thing they left in the horse van was a screwed-up scrap of paper. It was a note of the times a liquor truck made its daily run along that route.
It was Chrysalis they really wanted. That timetable note was a blind.
But why should anyone want to steal a stallion? That's what's got us all floored. Mm. It's the stallion's name that brings in the stud fee. If someone's stolen Chrysalis, what's the point? They can't advertise him for stud, so he isn't worth a dime.
I'm not so sure. Suppose there's some sort of substitution going on.
How do you mean?
I'm not clear of the details yet, but a stallion gets the top fees because he throws the best horses, right?
Yeah.
Well, suppose some crook stole Chrysalis and Alix and Showman before him to play a waiting game. Now, suppose he substitutes Chrysalis for some mediocre stallion. He throws the best stock. This soon gets around, and he can put up the stud fees of the mediocre horse he's been substituted for.
That'd take time. 2 or 3 years. Would it be worth it?
Of course it would. Do you realize a top stallion stud fee can be as much as $10,000 or more? Now, he's probably booked for 30 or 40 mares a year. That's well over a quarter of a million bucks. There's tremendous money in it.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Chrysalis could be worth having after all, named or not named.
And those others. Now, what happened to Alix?
Well, I only know about that from the files. French horse delivered safely. But 4 days after he arrived, there was a fire in the stables one night. They let the horses out into a small corral.
And found them gone in the morning?
Yeah, there was a broken fence. But they were all recovered except Alix. The company had to face the fact he'd probably gotten to the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains and maybe broke his neck. In the end, they paid up.
And what about Sherman?
I don't know how he got loose. But they found him. Dead.
Where?
In the Appalachians. He came from that area, same as the others. But then Lexington has more stud farms than anywhere else in the States.
You went down to Lexington last week?
No, flew there Wednesday when Mrs. Teller called us.
Mrs. Dave Teller?
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's English, like you.
I'll go down there tomorrow. Will you come?
Okay. Though I'd like you to see Mrs. Teller alone. Get your own impression, like.
All right. And could you see the grooms and drivers again?
Yeah, what do you want to know?
I want to know all the cars and trucks they can remember seeing on the road all the way from Kennedy to the place they lost the horses.
That's a tall order, isn't it?
Well, on those turnpikes, you sometimes see the same cars over and over. The ones going your way, that is. You see them at rest stops and so on, right?
Yeah, but after a week, I don't know I'll get much out of those fellas.
Well, it's worth a try anyway. It'll give you a thing to do while I have my alone interview with Mrs. Teller. I can't wait. What's Midway Farm like?
Oh, you'll see. It's got prosperity printed on its gateposts.
Let's take our drinks out to the pool. I'm going for a swim.
Okay, by me.
So, you're the man who fished Dave out of the river?
Yes.
He telephoned me yesterday. He says I am to trust you entirely. Come on in and swim. There are plenty of swimsuits in the hut.
No, thanks. I'll sit here on the terrace and watch you.
You've hardly touched your drink. You're not one of those softies who can't hold their drink, are you?
Chrysalis.
Do you ride?
I can, but I don't.
Why not?
I haven't a horse, nor a kingdom to give for one.
Drink your whiskey.
In a while.
Well, then strip off and get in the pool.
No, thanks.
Why not?
I like it as I am.
Don't you do anything.
How many people knew the time Chrysalis would leave Kennedy Airport?
God, you're a bloody bore.
Well, don't you want the horse back?
No. As far as I'm concerned, we'd be a lot better off with the insurance. Oh, I'm getting in the water. Take your clothes off, for God's sake. Or are you afraid of that pink-white slug body the English usually bring over here?
I'd better be going.
Do what you damn well like.
I always like to please my hostess.
That's better.
There are some sun shorts here and a shirt. If you must know, I've too many bruises to want to strip off, but I'll put these on.
Gracious of you.
How many people knew the Chrysalis shipping date?
Half Kentucky, I guess. Wasn't any goddamn secret. I called 6 or 7 of the syndicate to let them know. They've asked me to. Here, fix me another drink, will you?
Okay.
What's the matter with your legs?
Same as your husband's, only mine didn't break.
At least I've got you to put your city clothes in the hut. Yeah. What's this?
Put that down. And put the safety catch back on.
Mr. Hawkins, what do you do for a living?
I'm a civil servant.
With this Luger?
Do you know what you're doing with that?
Yes. Making you look down the barrel of your own gun, enjoying it?
Indifferent, really.
You're a cool bastard, I must say.
You won't shoot me.
Why not?
I'm not insured for 1.5 million.
Do you mean you think that I shot Chrysalis?
It is possible.
You're a goddamn fool.
So are you, if I may say so. That gun goes off very easily.
Does it? I'll throw it away, then.
Lucky the glass was any nearer to you. I'll have that gun back and put the safety catch on before you try any more games.
Games? Well, what do I have but games? Bridge and golf, all games.
My Luger, too.
I just thought I'd make you sweat.
Why?
That's a good question. A very good question. All games. Life is all bloody games.
And we're all poor bloody losers.
Oh, bring the trolley over, will you?
Sure. There you are.
Thanks. Hello? Oh, say. I hadn't expected you to ring again so soon. How are you? Good. I'm sure you know best, Dave. You stay as long as you like. Your Mr. Hawkins is here. Just call on me now. Dave wants to talk to you.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Jane?
Yes?
Look, fella, Sim and I want you back here in England for a conference. Can you get a plane tomorrow?
But the fare.
Ah, to hell with the fare. You got a return ticket.
All right.
You found that horse yet?
No.
Do you think you will?
I don't know yet.
Well, I'll see you Thursday, then. Bye.
Goodbye.
Stay to lunch.
No, thanks. I must get back to New York. Arrange about tomorrow's plane.
Are you married?
No.
Divorced?
No, I've never been married at all.
Are you queer?
No.
And why aren't you married?
Well, I haven't found anybody who will marry me.
Don't be ridiculous. You must have women lying down for you in droves.
It's not the same thing.
So you live all alone?
That's right.
No parents?
Both dead, and I have no brothers and no sisters. Anything else?
Stay the night.
I'm sorry, but I can't.
I have a mother, and sisters, and brothers, and dozens of relations. And a husband, and a son, and all this. I have bloody everything. I have bloody everything.
Hey, Sim, look who's here. Hi, Jean, glad to see you.
How are you both?
Well, if you discount ropes and pulleys and slings and plaster that are supporting my leg in this in the air, well, I'm very well, thank you. This hospital's all right, but the food is goddamn terrible.
Don't take any notice of him, Jean. I sat here and watched him eat perfectly good meals.
How's the investigation?
I got Walt Prancella to question the grooms and drivers again, to see if they could remember any vehicles which had been with them a lot on their journey. Well, you know how it is. Often you see the same vehicles time and time again going your way.
Any possibles?
Yes, one. A grey station wagon trailing some furniture. One of those trailers you hire.
Yeah, Snail Express things.
Yes, yes. Walt's checking with Snail Express on the off chance.
Good. How's my wife?
Oh, very well.
What was she doing when you called?
Sunbathing, swimming. There's a heat wave coast to coast.
She gave you a drink, I hope.
Oh, yes.
And we're moving, you know.
No.
Well, Eunice, she loves the ocean. And in Kentucky, we're as far from it as can be. We're moving to California.
Ah.
I put in a bid for a place just before I came over this time, and it was accepted. We'll do very well out there, I've no doubt. Yeah. Sim says that you were convinced that I was pushed into the river on purpose. Now, have you changed your mind?
No, I have not.
We've come up with one or two things that make it almost certain that you're right.
Yes. First thing was I went to Dave's hotel in London to collect some things for him. Mm-hmm. They'd had inquiries from a lady journalist for Dave, and they'd given her my address. The girl said she was from Stud and Stable, and it was urgent. Well, I checked with Stud and Stable, and they had no one trying to contact Dave.
So it was easy to follow us the whole way up.
Oh, easiest thing in the world.
And the 5 feet that was missing from the punt's mooring rope had been used to tie it securely to that danger post while they waited for us.
Yes, so I'll agree, Jean, that the accident was staged and that you were right and I was wrong, which, I seem to remember vaguely, has happened once or twice before.
Have you had any results with the handkerchief?
Only negative. None of the Yogi Bear concessionists in this country imported it.
I'll take it back to the States and try there. After all, the boy and girl were almost certainly American.
How do you reckon that, Jean?
Well, the boy shouted, "Can you help us, sir?" And that, sir, comes a great deal more commonly from Americans than from the English. And besides, as the boatman said, he spoke like they do on the telly. Well, there are a lot of American and mid-Atlantic voices on the telly.
They were American, I agree.
You are guarding against them having another go.
All precautions. And Dave will stay here till you've got it all wrapped up.
So what's your next move, Jean?
Find someone who can identify Chrysalis if we think we're on his track. English horses have no tattoo numbers like American.
Yeah, gee, I never thought of that.
But there's a stable lad, Sam Kitchens, who knew him well. Now, he'll be at Ascot this afternoon, and I'm going down there to see him.
How'd you find out about him?
Oh, I spent some of the morning at the British Bloodstock Agency, traced Chrysalis's ownership back, and they made a few phone calls.
When do you sleep, fella?
I don't.
He's mad.
You get used to it. The first 8 years are the worst.
And this is the guy you trust your daughter with?
Well, we hadn't mentioned that.
What?
Well, we'd like you to take Linny back with you to the States.
She's going to visit with Eunice for a while.
Well, I'd be glad to. On a slow boat via New Zealand, if you like.
Ah, she's too young for you.
Yeah, she is indeed. Where will I collect her?
Linny will be at the Victoria Air Terminal at 8:30 tomorrow morning. All right?
Fine. Can I have the handkerchief?
Oh, yes, yes. I've got it here.
And I'll get Peter's photographs blown up tomorrow in New York. And then it'll simply be a matter of sifting through 200 million inhabitants.
I still don't understand, Sim, how you can trust your daughter to a fellow like this.
I've never been to America before. How long before we land?
About an hour.
Will I like Mrs. Teller?
Haven't you met her before?
Once, when I was little, but I don't remember her.
She isn't easy to forget.
Exactly. That there's something odd about me going to stay with her. Well, of course, I said I'd love to. And who wouldn't go off on any trip to get away from school, let alone a super one like this? But I distinctly think that Daddy and Mr. Teller have an ulterior motive, and I want to know what it is.
They want her to have company.
Me?
To prevent her drinking too much alone.
Wow. You're not serious.
They didn't say so. I'm only guessing.
But I can't stop her drinking.
Well, don't try. They think your being there will make her put the brakes on. Well, that's my guess anyway. She doesn't get drunk, and you'll like her all right. So long as your ears don't fall off.
My mother wouldn't approve of her.
Quite likely not.
I expect that's why I've only met her once.
Now, it'll be late morning by the time we've booked in at the Biltmore. I have to spend the day with Walt Plancella at the insurance office. Then we go on to Lexington tomorrow. What are you going to do?
Look at New York. Look at every building I've always heard about.
That's the way. You'll find everything seems to speed up when you get to America.
Dave Teller does you all right. The Biltmore, no less.
Yes, he's very generous. It's pleasant for a drink at the end of the day.
I'll say. And what a day we've had.
Your staff have been very helpful.
How are the trailers?
27 are okay. Of the other 8, 5 don't answer and 3 have no phone.
I gather they went all over.
Oh, Nebraska, Kentucky, New Mexico, oh, everywhere. But what success have you had with Yogi Bear?
To start with, it's not Yogi Bear. The handkerchief came from Japan.
Oh.
Several of the firms phoned their West Coast offices for me. No dice. It seems if half the souvenirs sold in the West are made in Japan. But all these Yogi Bear concessionists say that this isn't Yogi Bear at all. It's the wrong shaped head. So, if this handkerchief was sold at or near Yellowstone Park, it could have come from any two-bit import business. As it's not Yogi Bear, no one will have to pay commission to use the picture. And there isn't any way that I know of finding who brought it into the country and sold it to where.
We could start from the other end.
Are you plumb nuts? You can't mean what I think you mean.
One of the Snell Express trailers was checked in at Rock Springs, Wyoming, and it's still there. They haven't had another customer for it yet. And I've asked them to hold it until I've had a look at it.
Why that one particularly?
Because it's in the same state as Yellowstone, and because it gives me an itch.
Yellowstone must be 300 miles from Rock Springs.
No. I shall fly down and then hire a car.
I think it's a waste of time.
I've time to waste. I'll keep in touch by phone.
Good. Oh, here. Here are your photographs. They've come out pretty well, I think.
Yes. Yes, very well. Ah, here's Linny. Well, how have you got on?
I've had a fabulous day.
Oh, may I introduce Walt Prinsella, Linny Keeble.
Hello.
How do you do, Miss Keeble? Glad to know you. Well, if you'll excuse me, I must be off. Good night, Jean. Good night, Miss Keeble.
Good night.
Whatever's bitten him?
Oh, he's had a tiring day, and he's going home to his wife.
Oh, do you know what you're saying?
Frequently.
Anyway, you look a lot tireder than he does.
Oh, that's most encouraging.
What should we do this evening? Or do you want a rest?
No, I'll go wherever you want, Linny. Let's go over and get a drink, and you tell me.
Well, first of all, I'd like to go on a long taxi ride to go everywhere in the city I haven't managed to see this afternoon.
Fair enough.
And then there's a glass-walled restaurant looking down across the lights of Broadway and Times Square. I should like to have dinner there.
It's a date.
That'll make this the most fabulous, fantastic day.
Good.
I'll remember it as long as I live. Then, will you be coming with me to Lexington tomorrow?
Yes. I have to see if there are any hairs from Chrysalis's mane in the horse box.
Is that all you've got to identify him by?
Well, Sam Kitchens, the stable lad in England who looked after him, he said he's the only horse he ever knew who liked sardines.
Sardines?
Hmm. It's quite a lot to go on, really, isn't it? And I have a horse box to look at a place called Rock Springs.
Sure you can look at the trailer. Now?
Well, if you don't mind.
You're welcome. I'm agent for Snail Express, you see.
Uh-huh.
I've four in at the moment, all come from different places. Which one do you want to see?
The biggest.
It's that one. Came in last Saturday from New York State. Huh? Yeah, I got a note of it. Yeah, renting charge paid in advance for 1 week. The week wasn't up until Monday.
Do you remember who brought it in here?
Let's see. Oh, yes, an old guy. Can't remember much about him. He had white hair, I guess.
What sort of car did he have to pull the trailer?
I helped him unhitch a station wagon, I think. Grey, maybe?
It wasn't either of the two young people in this photograph.
No. Look inside if you want to. I swept it out.
Well, why did you do that?
I always do. It was pretty clean, though, already.
Yes. No sign even of a horsehair.
Well, you wouldn't expect one, would you?
As a matter of fact, I was hoping. But look here. This trailer has a roof that opens right out.
Yes, some of the larger ones do. It's to make it easier to load tall things.
Yes. Like a horse. Well, thanks. Now I have 300 miles to go looking for a handkerchief. What?
Hello, G. Where are you?
In a little town called Jackson. It's in Dude Ranch country. Sort of place people go for holidays on ranches that are set up especially for them. Mm-hmm. So they can go riding feeling like cowboys.
I know.
Well, the main street's lined with souvenir shops. And at the fifth, there was a pile of our sort of Yogi Bears. Hey, and Walt.
Yeah?
They recognized the boy and girl from the photograph. Well, they're highly thought of here. And they run one of these holiday ranches.
So you're going to stay there?
Yes. It's called High Z Ranch, Jackson. So keep on my track if I don't ring you each day. I shall call myself Hockner.
Okay.
And try and change my appearance a bit. Well, they never heard me speak, so I don't think I'll be recognized.
And they've plenty of horses there?
Yeah, quite a lot, apparently. Now, I've left all the details with you, so will you arrange to get Sam Kitchens over from England?
Anything you say, Gene. And that Dave Teller will pay for.
Oh, he'll pay, all right. I'll be ringing you again, but sooner or later we'll need Kitchens, so let's get him now. In the meantime, I shall be looking for a horse that likes sardines.
Mr. Hockner, how nice to have you with us.
I'm glad you could take me at such short notice, with the fourth coming up next weekend.
Oh, we're seldom full this early in the season. I'll show you straight to your cabin, if you like. Then you can freshen up and come along to the ranch house for dinner later on. There'll be a bell to let you know when. This way.
It's a great place you have here.
People say there's no finer view of the Teton Range or the Rockies than we have here.
It's a view good enough for a chocolate box. Has this always been a dude ranch? I mean, it seems a bit hilly for cattle.
Hmm. Always a dude ranch. My grandfather built it about 40 years ago. How did you hear of us?
I asked in Jackson for somewhere good and fairly quiet out in the mountains.
Who recommended us?
Just a man in the street.
I see.
What do you do in the winter?
Oh, we move down south. Well, snow completely blocks this valley from November through March. Most years it's May before we come back. We usually open the ranch the second week in June, but the canyons are often impassable then.
And what do you do with the horses?
Oh, they go down on the plain on a friend's ranch. Ah, this is your cabin.
Uh-huh.
There's a bathroom through there. And you'll probably need to light the stove in the evenings. The snow's only melted here 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the nights are cold. I'll light the logs with 2 or 3 handfuls of that.
What is it?
A pep. A mixture of diesel oil and sawdust. There's an ice machine out back of the kitchen if you want to make drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Most guests bring their own liquor. We don't sell it. I expect you'll want to go riding tomorrow. We usually fix that up after dinner. Have you everything you need?
Yes, everything, thanks.
Oh. We'll see you at dinner, then. I'll put you with the Wilkinsons. He's a very friendly man, staying here with his wife and 2 children.
Nice to have you join our party, Mr. Hawkins. Well, I'm glad we had time for a stroll before dinner. Give you some idea of the setup.
Yes.
The Wranglers will have the horses out here for us in the morning. You have to know that no one calls cowboys cowboys except in the movies. Cowhand is possible, but the right word is Wrangler.
Oh, I'll remember that.
The Wranglers herd the horses, and the horses are here for we dudes to ride. They turn the horses out in the hills every night and go up and herd them down in the morning. Mm-hmm. They only bring in the number they need. They just leave the rest out.
So sometimes a horse could be out for a week at a time.
I guess so.
What are those horses in the paddock there? They seem pretty solidly railed in.
Oh, some foals and one or two horses they keep for stud, I think. Mm-hmm. They breed most of the horses on this ranch.
I see. Do they have many stallions?
Three or four.
That's a nice-looking bay.
It's funny you should say that. One of the Wranglers was talking to me about him the other day. He's a half-breed Matt bought in Laramie 2 or 3 weeks back. This Wrangler didn't like him.
Why not?
Not enough bone for these hills. They turn the horses out on the hills over here because there isn't enough pasture in the valley to feed them. They go miles away most nights. Well, let's go into dinner. I expect you'll be riding with us first thing in the morning.
Not till later in the day. I may have to go into Jackson earlier tomorrow, but I'll join you later. In the meantime, I'm looking forward to meeting your wife and children at dinner. And then I shall take a walk round the ranch if I can. I'd like to get the feel of it at night. Come on, boy. Come on. I've something you'll like. Yes. Sugar. All horses like sugar, don't they? Yes. I've brought a special supply of groceries to bring to you and your friends. I brought something else, too. It's not so easy to carry these. Come on, boy. Now, what do you think of those? Don't like them, eh? I don't blame you, chum. I don't know of a horse who likes sardines. Bar one. There you are. You can have some more sugar. Yes. Right. That's enough for you. Now, how about your friend here? What is he like? There's no doubt about you. Another sugar horse. Now, what about this fellow standing back? You're the one I'm interested in. Here. Does this smell remind you of anything? My God, I believe it does. Yes, you're remembering, aren't you, chum? Smelling some faraway scent. Yes. There's the boy. There's the boy. There's the sardine horse. Go on. Go on, plenty more. You take the lot. Walt?
I'm here, Gene.
I found him.
Who?
Chrysalis.
Can you be sure?
I will be. I'm mailing to you 4 hairs from his mane for your experts to compare with the ones of Chrysalis's I sent you from Lexington.
Can do. Now then, what's the next step? Do I get the police or do you?
Neither. I want to set up an exchange.
What?
Well, when's Sam Kitchen's arriving?
Well, today, I hope.
There's going to be a lot for him to do. And 3 days of waiting here for me, playing and having a holiday on a dude ranch.
But why are you so sure you spotted him?
Well, I thought I recognized him. And last night, I went into his paddock. I swear it's Chrysalis. And he's certainly not the half-breed they all pretend. His head and his neck. Well, you can see he's a thoroughbred. And he likes sardines. Now, look, Walt. What I plan to do is this. 3 nights from now... It's all right, old fellow. And don't be afraid now. I know the man frightened you, but he's a friend who's come to meet us. You took the wrong path when you ran off up here. But we'll get you back. I'm not afraid, see? Come on now. Come on. That's better. Now, we mustn't let Walt think that we can't do this bit together. Not after we've been all over the mountains. That's it. There. There, you've made it. Good fella. Good fella.
I'm sorry, Gene. I did the wrong thing. I should have stayed down with the van, but I saw a torch,
It's all right, Walt. It might have been disaster, but it's all over now. I've got Chrysalis. Is that Sam Kitchens there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Take a torch and check him over, will you?
Right.
Have you got the replacement, Walt?
Yeah, he's in the van. Mm-hmm. Bought him for $500. A crossbay, but the best we'll do, Sam Kitchen says, unless we bought a thoroughbred.
And you've got his papers with you to cover you if there are any questions asked on your way back.
Oh, yeah.
It's Chrysalis, all right.
Oh, good.
See that tiny scar up there under his shoulder? Huh? Well, he cut himself on a metal gatepost when he were a two-year-old. And the way his hide grows in a whirl there, inside the hock.
Oh, yeah.
Well, besides knowing him for his general shape, I'd swear to those other things in any court.
Oh, let's get back to the van. Come on, old boy. Come on. Come on. Was the cut from the gatepost bad enough to be treated by a vet?
Yeah. 5 or 6 stitches.
Well, take good care of him till you get him back to Lexington.
Well, aren't you coming with us? It's too late for you to go back.
No, I'll meet you at Idaho Falls as we arranged.
Well, look, it's not safe to go back.
I'll be fine.
Well, have you found anything new while you've been at the ranch?
Very little. But I bugged Yola and Matt Clive's cabin. Yola had a telephone call one night to a third party who's clearly involved. Called Uncle Bark.
Uncle Bark?
Yes, it's a funny name. And the boy Matt's back. Now, Yola was telling this Uncle Bark that Matt had written to say he had to give up Europe and that he couldn't get near to you-know-who. From which we deduce that Dave Teller is being adequately guarded. And apparently, something goddamn stupid happened to upset the Clive's plans. Something that made Dave Teller's removal necessary in the first place. And it happened after the horse had been stolen. Well, here we are at the van. Dave's head man with you?
Yeah.
Well, let's have my replacement horse and you get Chrysalis in the van, Sam.
Right, sir.
There's the fellow. You're coming for a ride with me, old chap.
I still think you should come with us, Gene.
No. No, if I scarper, it's too obvious. I must be there knowing nothing about anything at breakfast in the morning.
What a fuss! You think they'd lost the deeds of a gold mine?
Yes, they do seem worried. Can they be sure the horse is lost? Maybe up in the hills, surely.
Well, the wranglers are out now, searching.
Well, I'm glad they found the dear little foals anyway.
Oh, Samantha sure likes those foals.
Oh, I do.
Good girl. Yes, they hadn't gone far, had they, Samantha? But perhaps this older horse went further. They may find him yet.
I hope so.
Yola's in a shocking state.
I felt she was checking us all in at breakfast.
What, to be sure there wasn't a cattle rustler among us who vanished into the night?
Something like that.
Oh, here's Matt.
Listen, everybody. I guess you know we've had a bit of trouble here this morning. What? Someone let out the foals and horses from their paddock over there. Now, if it was any of you kids, we'd sure like to know about it. Or does anyone know if the gate wasn't properly fastened at any time?
Well, I'm sure any of the guests would speak up at once if we could help you. But if you think it wasn't an accident, shouldn't you call in the police?
We are seriously thinking of it. One of the stallions is quite valuable. But to save any possible embarrassment, we want to be quite sure that none of the guests had left the gate open by accident.
Well, everyone here seems quite sure of that.
Yes. Yes, they do. Well, if anyone has any second thoughts, I'd be grateful if they'd come and talk to us.
Well, I must get my bill and go over to my cabin to pack.
Oh, yes, of course. You're off this morning.
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, we'll see you again before you go. I doubt there'll be any riding for guests yet with all the wranglers out on this search. I'll be doing one or two things to the car this morning, so I'll be seeing you.
Stay where you are, Mr. Hartner.
What? I don't understand. I've just paid my bill and got my receipt and... Why the gun?
What do you think, Matt?
It's the same man. Definitely.
Where's our horse?
I don't know. Why do you ask me?
Because you know.
Excuse me, I have my packing to finish. I've paid the bill and I'm leaving this morning.
You're not going anywhere, friend.
Why not?
You get that horse back here and then you can go, not before.
I can't get him back. I don't know where he is. On the other hand, several friends of mine do know where I am, and they'll be expecting me to be leaving here this morning. I'm unlikely to go around saying I stole a horse from the Clives. Now, if you do nothing, and I now drive safely away, you may hear no more of it. That's the best I can offer. But you will not, whatever you do, recover that horse.
You don't know what I'm going to do, Mr. Interfering Englishman. Oh!
That'll only put him out. How long for?
Long enough. We'll leave him by the stove and light the whole tub with his pep. Sawdust and diesel oil. It'll suffocate him before he burns. We'll make it look as if he'd fallen and hit his head on the stove. Well, come on, Yola. Help me pull him over. We'll settle this guy so he doesn't come up this time.
Wilkinson. Wilkinson, help me get this stuff in the car.
Well, of course, but what's the matter?
Well, let me help too, Mr. Harkner.
I'm making a quick getaway. A disagreement with the Clives.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. Why, there's Yola now. She's going back into the ranch house.
Yes, I think to get her gun, but I don't think she'll dare to use it with you and Samantha here. Yeah?
Well, you can't mean it.
Oh, I do, Wilkie, but don't you worry. She won't use it on you. Well, goodbye, Wilkinson. Goodbye, Samantha. Thanks for your help. I fixed a date with a friend a few hundred miles up the road, and I've got to hurry to keep it. Goodbye.
Put you through what meat grinder? You looked like the bridegroom on the 10th night.
Well, you should have seen me when I made my date with Walt Prinsella at the motel at Idaho Falls. I was out with concussion for nearly 24 hours.
You still look as though you need sleep.
Yeah, I do, Linny. I don't know if Mrs. Teller could give me a bed or, well, there's a motel.
Stay here. Of course you're staying here.
Oh, thanks, then. Oh, shall I take it?
Of course.
It may be my call to England. Mr. Teller?
Hi, Gene. Hey, listen, I heard on News Flash not half an hour ago. Chrysalis just plain turned up.
He sure did.
And he's well?
Top class form.
Where'd he been?
Oh, it's a long story. And wires have ears, but the expenses stand right now at somewhere near $6,300. Is that enough for you, or do you want me to go on for some answers?
To what questions, fella?
To why Chrysalis was hijacked, and why you fell in the river. Oh, and another thing. Do you want Alex back?
Now, for God's sake, do you know where he is?
No, but maybe I could find him.
Now listen, fella, apart from curiosity, is there any good reason for finding these answers?
For stalling repetition.
No more stolen stallions and no more attacks on me.
That's right.
Well, I'll buy the answers, then, if you can get them. As for Alex, if you think there's any chance of finding him alive and vigorous, then I guess I'm morally obliged to give you the go-ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it would mean repaying the insurance money.
Yeah.
He'll be 12 now. And that would give him only about 6 or 8 more years of high potency.
Mm.
But his get from before his disappearance are winning all over Europe. Now, blood-wise, it would be criminal not to get him back.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
What you spent on finding Chrysalis is less than his fee for covering a single mare. You've a free hand again for Alex.
Right.
Oh, Gene.
Hmm?
Sim Keeble says you've got 7 days extension of leave.
Yes.
I guess I could fix with him for more if the extra week isn't enough.
Well, if I haven't finished by then, I'll have failed anyway, and may as well go home.
Yeah. I'll leave it to you, fella. Now, may I speak to Eunice?
Yes, she's just here. Just a sec. There you are.
Thanks.
Honey, you there?
Yes, darling.
Hi. Hi, how's it going?
Well, don't ask me how he did it, Dave. I don't know.
How's Lily?
She's fine, sure. Dave, we're taking a trip tomorrow out to California. I'll measure up the curtains for the new place, things like that. And Lily can have some days on the beach and try some surfing. So look, Dave, why don't we take Jean with us? I've made reservations at the vacationer in Santa Barbara. They're bound to have another room.
Yes, sure do.
I don't know what he's been getting up to finding Chrysalis, but he's in pretty poor shape. I'm giving him a meal now and
packing him off to bed early.
When the blue of the night meets the gold.
I was all for early bed, but I hadn't bargained on someone else being in my room. What do you want?
What do you think? Does silence mean no?
I'm afraid it does.
You did say you weren't queer.
No, I'm not, but I do have one unbreakable rule, and that is not to sleep with the wives or daughters of the men I work for.
That includes Linny?
Yes, it does.
Well, I'm damned. You mean the night you spent in New York with her, you didn't even try?
It wouldn't have been much good if I had.
Oh, don't you believe it. She never takes her eyes off you. When you were away, she talked about nothing else.
You must be wrong.
I wasn't born yesterday. She has two photographs of you as well. The ones her brother took of you on the river.
But she shouldn't.
Maybe she shouldn't, but she does.
You expected me to say no?
I thought you might, but it was worth a try.
Eunice, you are nuts.
I'm bored.
Well, that puts me into the golf and bridge category. You're still playing games.
At least you're goddamn human.
What do you like best about moving to California?
Your mind's like a bloody grasshopper. What's that got to do with sex?
Well, you tell me and I'll tell you.
Oh, for God's sake. Fixing up the rooms, I guess.
You did all these.
So what?
Oh, so why don't you start in business doing it for other people?
I'm no bloody genius.
But you have an eye for colour. No more than that, for mood. This is the most comforting house I have ever been in.
Comforting?
Yeah. Laugh, clown, laugh, that sort of thing. You can fill other people, even though you feel empty yourself.
How do you know?
Well, I know.
And I suppose what it has to do with sex is that interior decorating would be a suitable sublimation for a middle-aged woman whose physical attraction is fading faster than her appetite?
No. No, the opposite.
Hmm?
Well, playing games is easier than working.
Oh, spell it out. You're talking goddamn riddles.
Sex, casual sex, can be a way of avoiding any real effort. A lover may be a sublimation for a deeper need. People who can't face the demands of one may be apt for passing their time with the other.
I don't understand a bloody word.
Well, thousands of people never try anything serious because they're afraid of failing.
And what if they do bloody fail? What then?
Well, I haven't got that one licked myself yet.
Oh, God. The blind leading the blind. Just like the whole bloody human race.
Yeah. We all stumble along in the dark, and that is a fact.
I don't know if you'll believe it, but I've been utterly faithful to Dave. Except for this.
I'm sure of it.
I'm Sco. I guess I'm tight.
Better than loose.
Oh, for God's sake, spare me the puns. I suppose if you're looking for that bloody horse Alix, there's no chance of you coming to California.
I wish there were.
Goddamn liar. Good night.
I understand, Mr. Harris, that you run the most extensive record section of all the stud magazines.
I like to think so, and word has gone round that you assisted in Chrysalis's return.
You could say that.
I thought Mrs. Telly made a most tactful statement to the press, so what can I do for you, Mr. Hawkins?
I'm looking for Alix and Showman.
Showman? Hmm. But he was found dead, surely.
I'm not satisfied that it was Showman.
Oh, I see.
Now, all through this case, no one's been able to understand why anyone should want to steal a well-known stallion.
Well, exactly. Being unable to use the name and pedigree would seem to be to make it a useless property.
Yes, but suppose one could find a stallion whose fee has risen sharply over the last few years, one who has sired much better stock than was ever expected. Might not the stolen stallion be being used in his stead, and so vastly increase his stud fee?
Hmm. It's possible, I suppose.
Now, what I would like is four lists. One of stallions whose fee have risen steadily over the last 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
Another of those who've proved considerably more successful at stud than one would have expected from their own breeding.
Mm-hmm.
And a third list of all this year's two-year-olds who've proved conspicuously better at racing than one would have expected from their breeding.
Yeah. By the end of the day, we should be able to provide you with that.
Oh, and there's a final list. I want a list of all horse breeders who might be known as Buck.
Oh, unusual. Number to Barclays, of course. The Bar K Ranch. Oh, yeah, we can sort that out. Could you call back at 5 o'clock and I'll hope to have something ready?
Well, Mr. Harris?
Mr. Hawkins.
You found them?
Well, we might have done. We came across 12 possibles which appeared on the first two lists, and one of the sires of the two-year-olds fits your requirements and comes from the same farm as one of the first 12. You follow me?
On your heels.
I've two names with the same owner which seem possible.
Uh-huh.
Movie maker, age 14 years, present stud fee $10,000. Centigrade, age 12 years. This year's stud fee, $1,500. Fee next year, $2,500. Both standing at Orpheus Farm, Los Cayos, the property of Cullum James Offam.
Movie maker and Centigrade, showman and Alex. As clear as a frosty sky.
Movie maker cost $150,000 at public auction. Since then, I estimate that Offam has been paid somewhere near $2.5 million in stud fees.
And Centigrade will earn $100,000 this year alone.
But Cullum James Offam is so well regarded, I simply can't believe it. He's accepted as one of the top-ranked breeders. And, of course, there's no connection with the name of Bark.
Oh, but there is. Mr. Harris, you're no musician. Haven't you ever heard of Orpheus in the Underworld by Offenbach? So I want you to come along too, Walt.
Yeah.
That is, if Buttress Life would be willing to send you from coast to coast, if Alix was the crock of gold at the end of the rainbow. Los Cayos is a short distance northeast of Los Angeles, and I thought of staying a bit further south on the coast.
If you like.
Come to the Vacationer, Grand Beach, Santa Barbara, then. I'll meet you there tomorrow.
Hey, who's paying?
Oh, Buttress Life and Dave Teller can fight that one out between them. I'll put the motel bill on Teller's expenses. Can you ring the fare out of your office?
Yeah, I guess so. But my wife and kids aren't going to like it.
Oh?
I was fixing to take them on a picnic this Sunday.
Postpone it for a week.
It's been postponed twice already on your account.
Oh.
Well, around 6 tomorrow local time, that do?
That would do very well.
Okay. See you, Gene.
You two look marvelous. There's something about the California sun that... But you both look as if you're filled with it.
We are. It's heaven. And dinner out here on the terrace. All these coloured lights on the sand. I've never seen anything so lovely.
Eunice,
mm-hmm.
Have you by any chance heard of a racehorse breeder called Cullum James Offam?
Heard of him? Of course I have. Everyone has.
Well, I hadn't until Jean mentioned him.
Well... I mean, everyone in the bloodstock world would have heard of him. Mm-hmm. He has a terrifically successful stallion called Movie Maker. And Dave says we ought to think of sending mares to another one of his, Centigrade. The first crop of foals are winning two-year-old races this season all over the place. But quite apart from that, I guess we'll be seeing a good deal of him from now on.
Oh, why?
Our new place is right next to his.
What did you say?
Our new place, where we're moving to, is right across the road from Offen. We shall look right into his stables.
Oh, no.
Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
No, it's not funny. Far from it. Do you know Cullum James Offen personally?
Not yet. Does it matter?
It might be wiser not to make friends with him in too much of a hurry.
Why not?
It might prove too much of a prickly flower. I'll know more soon. Walt and I will be seeing him tomorrow.
Well, have you seen all you want, gentlemen?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Offen. It's just these new fire regulations. I have to make a report and give a description of precautions in each stable.
Yeah, I understand. And you've made a thorough check on Movie Maker and Centigrade and their accommodation?
Yes, two very fine stallions you have there, Mr. Offen.
Well, they're certainly in great demand. Well, I'll leave you with Kiddo here. He'll show you anything else you want to see.
Thank you. Goodbye, Mr. Offen.
Goodbye.
You've been here long?
5 or 6 months.
You must be good to get a job like this so young.
I got a feeling for horses, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Mares, they fall down nearly always at night. Comes from having to give birth in the dark, in the wild, you understand?
Why in the dark?
Well, they drop them by day. Some hungry hyena comes along and kills the foal in the first half hour. Well, foals now, they're readier to run at birth than most other critters, but you got to give them half an hour to dry off.
But they don't have to run here.
Well, nature don't know that. And then, you see, I always know when a mare's ready.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know how I know. I just got a feeling for it. I've been with horses, you see, all my life.
Ah. Where were you before you came here?
Oh, all over. I had a job in Lexington a while back, but they said I didn't keep good time turning up at work. Then I was in Maryland. Then I saw the advertisement for here, and I wrote Mr. Offen. Mm-hmm. Seems he didn't want no great businessman, just someone with a feeling for the mares. And he's keeping me on, he says. Though there was two before me, he let go after they'd been here a month.
Well, thank you, kiddo. It's been interesting talking to you.
Let me see you to your car.
He's no idea what's going on.
Unless he's a brilliant actor.
No, he wasn't acting. None of the signs.
Can you always tell?
That's one of those unanswerable questions. I have a feeling for it. Like Kiddo and his mares. But if he lets me down sometimes, how am I to know?
Have you ever passed as clear someone who turned out to be a spy?
Once. The counter-espionage chaps turned him in 6 months later. But he'd done a good deal of damage and the press took it up.
Which you took to heart.
I guess so.
And now you're so good at it, they beat you up. What do you think when that happened?
There's a big fish coming down the pipeline, and they want me out of the way.
So you look all the harder.
Well, you could say so, yes.
They'll kill you one of these days. I suppose you don't care.
There are lots of others in the department. Now, we'll see Eunice and Linny at lunch. If you can distract Linny for a few moments, there's something I want to ask Eunice. I want to pay Mr. Offen another visit.
What for?
To bug his desk, for one thing. Has Linny still got those photographs of me?
Don't worry. In a fire, she'd save them first.
I'd like Cullum James Offen to see them.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you and Linny driving over to pay a neighborly call on Cullum James this afternoon. And you could easily, dearest Eunice, tell him about me pulling Dave out of the Thames, and Linny could show him my photograph. Especially the one of me sitting by a table outside the pub. That group of all of us.
Oh, you really can't be so pleased with yourself as all that. For God's sake, why?
An experiment.
That's no answer.
Earning my keep at the vacationer.
Finding that bloody horse.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
You don't mean... Oh, surely you can't mean that Offen has anything to do with it?
I'd like to make sure he hasn't.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess that's not too much to ask, sure. I'll get Linny to come with me.
I shall be waiting outside, waiting to go in when you've gone. Oh, and tell him I'm looking for Alix.
I wish I knew what your game was. How about Chrysalis?
Whatever you like. Say Dave employed me to get him back.
I don't know why I'm doing this.
More interesting than golf?
Is it a game?
Well, like hunting bears.
Oh, yes. A sport.
Why the mass depression?
You're late.
I told you not to wait dinner for me.
We were, considering a search party.
You have been comparing notes.
I think it's terrible of you. Wicked. To have made me go there and deliberately put you in such frightful danger.
Linny, stop it. I was in no danger. Well, here I am, aren't I?
But Walt said...
Well, Walt needs his brain singed.
You didn't tell me you'd arrange for Orphan to know you were the man who took Chrysalis.
And you didn't tell me that the couple in the background Linny showed Cullum Offen had tried to kill you, too.
Or you'd never have let Linny show it to him?
No.
Just as well I didn't.
And you deliberately misled me by saying you wanted to clear off, and that wasn't true.
No. But I did want you to behave naturally with him. Anyway, why all the fuss?
We thought, we almost thought, as you were gone so long, that you, well, that they...
They didn't.
But will you please explain why? Why did you want me to give you away like that?
Several reasons. One was to make Dave safer.
I don't see how.
By letting Offen know, and through him the Clives, that we could prove the Clives were in England and beside the Thames on the day of Dave's accident. Well, murder by accident is only a good idea as long as there's no apparent connection with the victim. Now, we've shown them that we know their motive and their connection. And they must know now that if Dave were killed, they'd be the first suspects. So it's less likely they'll try again.
Crikey. Go on.
Well, when Walt and I went to Orpheus Farm this morning, Offen wasn't worried. He's just had one horse taken from him, but he wasn't worried about losing two more.
He hasn't got them.
I was sure Cullum often wouldn't steal horses. I mean, he's respected.
Ah, to be respected is the best cover in the world for fraud. But I thought it'd be helpful if he knew for certain that I was the man he had to thank for losing Chrysalis, and that I was interested in Movie Maker and Centigrade. But still, when I went back this afternoon, he still wasn't frightened. He thought the whole thing a hell of a joke, pretending to be taken in by my questions about insurance. So it's clear that the two horses standing in his barn are, in fact, Movie Maker and Centigrade.
I think it only proves that you're barking up the wrong tree. Hmm? He isn't worried simply because he isn't guilty of anything.
You liked him?
Yes, he was bloody sweet. Yes, I thought so too. And he was nice about you.
Can neither of you understand that a pleasant social manner can coexist with fraud and murder? Oh, here, I've kept you waiting long enough. Come on, let's have dinner.
Shall we go and freshen up, Lily?
Yes, let's.
Well, what else?
I put a bug on the underside of his desk. I was late back because I was listening. He called Yola and told her about my visit. I left the recording set hidden in a hedge and then came back here.
And you really mean that those two horses are Movie Maker and Centigrade?
Oh, sure. Those horses will have been tattooed inside their mouths with an identity number when they first began to race. It'll be very easy to establish that they are the right two.
You don't think Mrs. Teller's right, that he never had Showman and Alex at all?
I'll play you his call to Yola sometime. He had the foresight to whisk those horses away from Orpheus Farm when we got Chrysalis. He was more or less waiting for something like our visit this morning. No flies on Cullum James, I'm afraid.
How do we find them? Oh, yeah, I rang the Buttress Life office about the Clives' winter quarters. Their agent in Jackson came back with the information within 20 minutes. They're well known and liked in the town, of course.
Oh, of course.
The Clives have a house in Pittsfield Boulevard, Las Vegas.
Facilities for horses?
No, that's up in the Arizona mountains. Not all that way away, I'd see.
And that's where Showman and Alex will have been taken to. Now, Yola's tied up at the guest house with 30 guests, and Matt's not there. Where is he, then? Looking after Showman and Alex. And what better place than their deserted winter quarters?
What now, then?
Well, I shall get Dave Teller's chief man, Sam Hengelman, over with a horse box. Fix a decoy to get Matt Clive out of the way and carry on as before.
But how will you get him out of the way?
With your help. But I shall have to think.
If it goes as smoothly as the Chrysalis trip, we shan't have anything to complain of. The place is empty, you say?
Except for Matt Clive. I watched it all yesterday. It's a one-eyed little dump, and nobody else there at all. But Showman and Alex are. And I got into the barn and found two horses with Movie Maker's and Centigrade's numbers tattooed inside their mouths. They're being used as the duplicates for those horses, all right.
The things people get up to. I've worked for Mr. Teller for 10 years now. Everything always perfectly straight.
Long may it remain so, Sam. Perhaps I'm telling you too much, anyway.
Well, I want to know what's happening. How have you got Matt Clive out of the way?
I staged a little mock burglary in his house in Las Vegas. Waltz persuaded him to go in to meet him about the insurance. I checked out that he'd left before I met up with you.
It should be clear, then. How long driving from Las Vegas?
2 hours.
Uh-huh. Well, that gives us till just before 11 to get clear.
Oh, longer than that. Now, Walt will see that their business takes an hour. And my information is that Matt likes a gamble. Now, he's been stuck out of that god-awful little farm for over a week. And I would think he'll stay on at Las Vegas and make a night of it.
Oh, hell!
What's the matter?
That gauge.
The temperature gauge. Hey, it's on red.
I know. Something's wrong.
I'll say it is. But what?
I'll tell you in a minute. Damn. As I thought, water.
Yes, that's pretty obvious.
Gasket.
No water in the radiator.
Right.
And if we go on, the engine will seize up?
Right again.
I suppose you don't carry any extra water in the van?
We sure do. Never travel without it.
Well, can't we pour some in the radiator?
Yeah, we can. There's 2 gallons. Won't get us very far.
13 miles out of Kingman. We could just about get back there. 7 to the farm.
There's an extra gasket, of course.
A spare one?
Yeah, sure, always carry a full set of spares.
Well, how long will it take you to fix it?
Cylinder head gasket, say 3 hours.
3 hours?
It won't take much less. Well, what do you want to do?
Matt Clive looked as though he was dressed for staying in Las Vegas. Now, if he does, we're all right. If he comes straight back, we all land up at the farm at midnight. If you're willing, we'll take the risk.
I'm willing.
Then change that gasket.
Well, we've made it.
Not a sign of a light anywhere in the farm. Stop here, will you, and leave the headlights on.
Not much of a place, is it?
No. If you'll unclip the ramp, I'll fetch the horses. One at a time, I think.
Okay.
I'll go across to the barn. No need to waste time.
Hey, Gene! Look out! There's a car getting straight for you!
Gene, get out of the way! What the hell are you doing? Get you out of the way!
Gene! He was going straight for you.
Walt! Walt saved me. Where'd he come from?
He was in the car that came up behind me.
But he was knocked down. Where's a torch? Walt! Walt!
Gene!
Yes?
Came to help you.
Yes. Thanks, Walt.
This is it. This is really it.
Walt!
I want to...
Is there any heartbeat?
No. No, there's no pulse. Nothing at all. It should be me lying here, not Walt. Oh, why wasn't it me? It wouldn't have mattered to me. It wouldn't have mattered at all.
Hey, how about the guy in the other car? He looks very still.
Let's see. With a crash against a wall like that, I'm not surprised. Yes, it's Matt Clive, all right. He was waiting for us. And all he did was get Walt and kill himself.
What did he do?
Well, give me a moment. That's Walt's car there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he drove up with the devil on his tail and jumped out and ran down after you. The young guy must have been there all the time waiting for us. He came roaring out and drove straight at you. I couldn't have stopped him. Walt was halfway down the yard.
Yes. Matt had been here all the time. Not in Las Vegas. Not on the road. But lying in ambush, waiting in his car.
Well, what the heck do we do now?
We're taking the horses.
We can't.
We've got to. For Walt's sake, and your sake, and Dave Teller's sake, and for my sake. What do you propose? We call the police and explain what we're all doing here?
We'll have to.
No, no, definitely not. Now get the horses into the van.
We'll never get away with it.
Oh, yes, we will. As long as you take those horses back to Lexington and never tell anyone, anybody at all, what happened here tonight. You've collected two horses. That's all. Just forget the rest.
But how can I forget?
Look, I've arranged things before. There's a rule I come from. You take a risk, you get into a mess, and you get out. Now, Walt threw himself in the way of that car to save me. Matt didn't intend to kill him. And you didn't see a murder. Matt drove straight into that wall himself. And that was an accident, too. Only two motor accidents. But you must have seen dozens.
But these were no accidents.
Forget it. Get the horses into the van and draw it out of the yard. I'll get a broom and remove our tire marks. I shall ring Buttress Life tomorrow and say that I'm worried about Walt. Tell them he had a date out here. And they'll send someone and discover the accident.
But you can't just leave him here.
Do you think I don't hate myself? What's the only thing to do? Within a week, everything will be back to normal for you at Lexington, and I shall be back in England.
Hello, Jean. Linny, my darling. How are you?
Splendid, Daddy. Gorgeous trip. The heat and the surfing in California. Oh, you've no idea.
And you got on well with Eunice?
Fabulously. She's absolutely sweet.
And what's Jean been doing?
Well, he has been on the beach with us some of the time.
Did you find the horses, Jean?
Yes.
All three?
With help.
I tell Dave I'd drop you off at the hospital when we leave the airport. He's still strung up, but he hopes to be out next week.
I have a lot to tell him, and there's a lot he'll have to decide.
You don't look well.
Oh, I'll live.
I don't want to say goodbye. I want to see you again.
Well, you will.
I mean often.
What do you say to that, Jean?
She's too young.
I'll get older. Will 21 do?
Well, will it?
Yeah, oh, of course. But I'll tell you one thing. You need never ring me up again to be sure that I haven't killed myself. I have a reason to survive now.
What? Linnet?
Partly. And partly a man named Walt Prinsella.